Hi everyone, it's Gavin J, the best thing since November, and you're listening to The Therapy Suite right here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. This week, I speak to social coach Gemma Lee Edelman. We'll be discussing how she helps people love themselves and connect with the world. Gemma, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Hello. Well, thanks for having me. Very excited to be here.
Great to have you on.
First time for me on the radio, so it's very exciting.
But I know you've got your own podcast.
I do, but you know, in my mind, it even though it's very similar, it doesn't seem like the same thing. I think I'm still thinking of radio as the old-fashioned machines where we were like turning the dial to try and, you know, find the station that we were looking for.
No, this is internet radio. Goes live to the whole world. I believe it's 54 countries internationally, so not to make you nervous, but I know you're very confident anyway because we were chatting just before.
I mean, to be honest, more than nervous, I think, wow, how amazing. Like, what an amazing world that we live in now, that you've got this possibility, or that we've all got this possibility to do your show, you know, the Therapy Suite, and send it out to the whole world. Like, wow, incredible.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's nice because it's about sharing knowledge and it can go global, which is exactly. Fantastic, you know. And so it's brilliant to have you on the show considering the subject matter we'll be discussing today. I think our listeners would love to hear a bit about you, Gemma, and like what you were doing in the past and how you got to where you are now.
The whole journey. How on earth I got here and why am I doing what I do? Well, like you said in the beginning, I am a social coach, and it's a term that it's not commonly used. It's kind of a newer version of coaching. And I've been doing it for the last 3 years, but I was a teacher for a very long time before.
Oh, teacher. What age group?
I had my own academy, so we covered academic support from preschool, primary, all the way up to college, university, and I taught English as a foreign language, Spanish as a foreign language, and then the equivalent of English linguistics, but in Spanish. So I've kind of done a bit of everything.
Brilliant. It's such a good age range as well. It's quite a big age range, to be honest.
It is. And, you know, thinking about what I do now, it actually really helped me because it gave me so much experience working with people across the board, really young kids, teenagers. You know, teenagers can be interesting in themselves. Absolutely. And then working with, you know, all like a wide range of adults, from young adults up to, I think the oldest student I ever had was 93, and she was incredible, this woman. She was absolutely amazing.
Good for her.
I know. Gosh. And, you know, and learning a second language.
That's brilliant.
Absolute inspiration.
Okay, not lucky if I'm here. Let alone learn another language.
I mean, I think this woman definitely taught me a lot about, you know, resilience, the power of the mind, and how we don't have to have any limits if we, you know, if we want to put our energy somewhere. It might not necessarily be the way that we thought we were going to do it, but we're going to be able to do something.
Absolutely.
And she was a complete inspiration.
Absolutely. The mind's a wonderful thing. Very intelligent. We still yet to discover it, haven't we? I think we use something like, what is it, 15%, 10% or something of our mind. Apparently there's a load more to unlock, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I think we're just at the beginning of the studies and the knowledge. And in 100 years time, people are going to look back at us and be like, oh, poor people, they didn't have a clue, did they?
They'll probably have little brain chips in their heads. And
probably. Know. I mean, that would be nice now. From time to time, I'd like a little chip put in there, you know, so I can just quickly download something and know how to do it.
Absolutely. And then so from the teaching and everything you've done in the past and the academy, how did you get to becoming a social coach? Was it something that happened? Was it an experience? Or tell us a bit. That's quite interesting. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, I came to this through my own personal journey. a few years ago, 7 years ago, actually, I say a few, in my mind, it was still just yesterday, 7 years ago, I had a huge health crisis and I got very sick, very, very sick, which at the time seemed like it had completely come out of nowhere. Obviously, now with hindsight, I look back and I'm like, no, that was around for a long time. I was just so busy. I wasn't actually putting my attention where my body was asking me to. And this crisis, this moment, you know, where everything stopped, it forced me to reassess everything, you know, my priorities, my pace of life, honestly, just how I treated myself. I was literally forced to stop for about 3 years and I was in and out of hospital. Took them a long time to figure out what was going on. And so I had all of this time and space and a young son. That was the other challenging thing. I had this time to figure out what on earth was going on. You know, what had I been doing? How had I got to this point where at the age of, you know, 35, all of a sudden I was struggling to walk and to breathe and my body was just shutting down and I was getting worse and worse every month and the doctors were pulling the hair out because they didn't quite know how to help me at the time. And after about 18 months, the doctors realized that it was autoimmune based. So I have lupus and something that's called antiphospholipid syndrome, which causes blood clots throughout the whole system. And because of that, I joined the Lupus and Autoimmune Association here in Spain. I live in Spain. And just out of nowhere, one day, this opportunity came to take part in a course which was all about personal development. And I mean, I liked personal development, you know, I loved reading, I'd always loved psychology and things like that, but I'd never really proactively gotten involved in any of that. And there was just some little spark inside me that was like, pick up the phone, ring this man, figure out what this is all about. And I did, and the man was amazing, a guy called Alvaro. So I joined up and I signed up. It was a 7-week course, very intense, 5 days a week. And about 3 weeks in, I was like, this is just what I want to do. I want to turn my own experiences around. I want to use what I've been through and find a way to, you know, walk alongside other people that are going through struggles and help them connect with a different version of the world that they want to live in.
That's amazing. I mean, brilliant. Well done to you as well for, you know, how far you've come forward. I actually have a lot of people that come on the show and they may have been through some challenging times, real challenging times, just like yourself. And they turn it into something positive and then they can give back to other people, which is what you do, basically, you know, which I think is fantastic.
I mean, without this sounding too corny, like I absolutely love what I do. And whilst that whole period of my life was very difficult, you know, I wasn't able to live the life that I wanted and I wasn't able to be the mum that I wanted. And that was where it was really, you know, kind of touching and pulling at the heartstrings. But I am so grateful for all of that because it changed everything. And it did give me the opportunity to then actually stop and think about what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. And I realized that even though I'd been teaching for a long time, quite a lot of what I'd been doing anyway was just accompanying people. And yes, there was there was the educational side of it, but maybe 70% of my classes were about people sharing and people talking and people, you know, showing up with what they were going through. And so it was kind of like therapy anyway, but just in Spanish or in English. So I kind of realized that maybe this was where I was heading all along.
Brilliant. Sometimes you've got, I've spoken to so many people on the show and it's unfortunate. Sometimes you've got to go through that negative dark patch before there's light at the end of the tunnel, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, so once I'd finished, you know, that first course, I then carried on training, and I, in the end, I ended up doing a master's in social coaching. And I remember having this conversation, you know, with a lot of my peers and my friends that I was doing the master's with, and we would talk about how, you know, sometimes hitting what we perceive to be rock bottom can be such a huge catalyst to then, you know, make the changes that we need to then create a different type of life or turn something around. And that doesn't mean that it's always fun. It doesn't mean that you look back and you're like, oh, I'm so glad that, you know, you lose a loved one. A parent loses a child. You go through, you know, an extremely traumatic event. It doesn't mean that you then always have to look back at it and say, oh, I'm so happy that this happened. But that I do believe that from every single situation that comes up in life, there is an opportunity to learn something. And from that learning, we can then choose how we want to move forward.
Absolutely.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. And it's challenging that you've got to kind of, even though you're going through such a negative time, you've got to dig deep, isn't it? You've got to really reach down and think, you know what, you've got to kind of fight, really. Like, I don't want to live like this. I want things to do. I want to do better. I'm going to, no matter what's going on, I have to improve. I'm going to be positive, reinforce positivity, and then move forwards.
I think, I mean, this brings us very nicely, nice little segue there, Gavin, to the idea of connection, because that, for me, was one of the key elements. So, I mean, I work with two core principles in, you know, with the work that I do, self-love. Love, self-love, and the idea of connection and creating a deeper connection both with ourselves and with the outside world. And so what you're saying, you know, having to dig deep, having to be like, okay, I'm going to get energy that I don't have. I'm going to get motivation that I don't have. I'm going to connect to something that I'm not sure even where it is, but I know that I want to move forward. I know that I want to make a change. I think the idea of connection here plays a fundamental role in all of that. Because if we're connected with ourselves, if we know who we are, what we truly want, what our values are, you know, what's important to us in life, it's then easier to see where we want to go. It's easier to, you know, figure out how I'm going to get there. But also the idea of connection with others. You know, I only got through everything that came up in those years because of the support system that I had around me, because of the connections that I had, you know, with obviously my family, but the real friends, the close friends, that they were going to be there through thick and thin, and they were going to hold my hand and pull me up when I was wobbling and crying on the floor in a heap, that those connections were so, they just played a huge role in me being able to move forward as well.
Absolutely. And I hear a lot about social connections, whether it be family, friends, etc., that usually support the person for whatever they're going through. And I know what you mean when you say, you said the word close, you know, your real, real friends. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know? So we're just going to do a quick.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet, mix with water, and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home, or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colours or preservatives. Just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UKRADIO to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So Gemma, thank you for sharing that about yourself and, you know, how you got to where you are today, which is really inspirational. Let's start with the big one. What does self-love really mean? You know, what do you really mean by that? And why do you think people may struggle with it?
I mean, I'm glad you asked it in that way because it is the big one. You know, we hear so much about self-love and it's almost like a buzzword, isn't it, in mental health and well-being. Love yourself, accept yourself. And, you know, and I know for me at least is automatically I get images of silk pajamas and spa days and face mask.
Yeah, that's what I think, to be honest with you, when I hear it.
and don't get me wrong, I love all of those things. And yes, I do those things and it forms part of my self-love routine. But it goes deeper than that. And I think it's way more important than that. And I think that's why people can get confused. For me, self-love is about connecting with ourselves and realizing and accepting that we are enough just as we are. So it's about being kind to ourselves, but truly kind, you know, not the superficial, I'm going to look in the mirror and I'm going to say, you are amazing, you are successful, you know, and don't get me wrong, I love a good mantra, I love a good positive affirmation. But if those words are not seeping down into the core, it's not going to do what we want self-love to do. It's about giving ourselves permission to be the person that we truly are and to allow ourselves to make the choices that we need at whatever given moment in order to be able to do the things that we want to do.
Absolutely. Do you think with self-love comes self-respect as well?
I think it's a huge part of it. And I think, unfortunately, the society and the cultures, you know, around the world, I'm not just talking about in Europe, I'm talking about worldwide, I think we've somehow got lost along the way and we've been sold this idea of what it means to be good, to be successful, to be, you know, whatever you want to put in inverted commas. And it's created a huge amount of pressure and stress. And most of us walk through life feeling that we're just not living up to those expectations that aren't our expectations. They're not things that we've decided that we want to be, but, you know, things that have just dripped down into our soul throughout the years. And so we don't value ourselves. We don't see the value in the type of people that we are. We don't see how worthy we are of love and respect, and that if we don't love and respect ourselves, it's then really difficult to one, do that for other people, and two, what's even more important, to receive it from other people.
Absolutely. And I think also there's neglecting yourself, isn't it? If you're not able to self-love, then there's some level of neglect. And having self-respect and, you know, boundaries, the people that you get involved with, whether it's as a friend or relationships or whatever it might be, you know, it's about thinking, you know what, this is not really me and there's something not fit right here. And do you know what I mean? Because we always hear it. I'm talking about relationships.
Yeah.
How many people are in relationships where, you know, and I totally get it. There's emotions there. You might have been with a person for years. But then at the same time, it might not be healthy for you either. It may be toxic. It could be challenging. It could be negative. And it's at those points where we've got to try and think to ourselves, hold on a second. There's something just not right here. I don't feel myself. I don't feel good about this. And sometimes we go through just, you know what, routine, fear of being alone, all the rest of it. And sometimes it's really difficult, isn't it, to do that self-respect and think, you know what, I've got to do the right thing now. I just think sometimes it can be quite challenging.
I think it can be really challenging. And, you know, I think people forget that we're allowed to choose, you know? We forget that we are allowed to decide the type of life that we want to live, the way that we want to move through the world, the way that we want to connect with people. And, you know, on the opposite side, how we want people to connect with us. And so it can be very, very easy to then fall into these patterns where we make excuses. You know, we make excuses for other people. Oh, they didn't mean it. And, you know, they might not have meant it. It's not necessarily always coming from a malicious place, but you also didn't deserve to be treated that way. And, you know, because we as a society have, and I'm going to say this, you know, I'm going to say these words, and as women as well, because I think women have been encouraged to always put the focus outside, to always, you know, look after other people, men as well. And, you know, I think men go through this, but in a different way. But I think that they have their own challenges. And I think it can be just as difficult. But we're just encouraged to put other people's priorities and needs before our own. And that means when the time comes to actually decide whether we're happy with something, to decide whether we want to make some changes, we don't even know how to do that. Because we're not used to asking ourselves, you know, hold on, what do I need here? How do I feel about this? What do I want? What don't I want? And I think that, you know, like you said, it causes so many struggles and challenges for people, in particular in relationships, but, you know, in every ambit of our lives.
Absolutely. Going back to self-love and caring for ourselves and doing the right thing, putting boundaries in place, you know, being healthy, looking after ourselves. Do you think sometimes, I'm just throwing this out here, I don't know, is there such thing as too much self-love?
Well,
I'm going to ask the question. You know, sometimes we can be a bit, not all of us, but some people can be a bit self-absorbed.
And I think that there is, there can be a fine line between being, you know, self-love and being self-absorbed. And I love the fact that you've asked this question. I mean, I think that, you know, one of the things that I repeat a lot, whether I'm writing, whether I'm speaking, whether I'm, you know, in a conference, on a course or in a session, one of my mantras is self-love is not selfish. And I believe that with every cell in my body. However, self-love isn't completely ignoring the world around us either. And self-love isn't just saying, okay, I'm the only one that matters here and I don't, you know, don't care about anyone else and I don't care about how my actions affect the rest of the world. No, we are, you know, I believe that we are tribal people. We are meant to be part of a whole, which means we can't go around just being self-absorbed. And I think that perhaps this is one of the misconceptions around self-love, is that, you know, well, if I love myself, then I'm never going to care about anybody else. I think loving yourself is allowing yourself to know who you are and create the boundaries that are safe for you and healthy for you. But that we also need to do that with respect and love and compassion for the other people that are around us. And if we're not doing that, then it's out of balance. And then we can very quickly become self-absorbed, like you said.
I had to ask the question.
It's a great question. I think it's really important to talk about it as well.
And the world can feel overwhelming and disconnected at times, which you mentioned a bit earlier. How do you help people reconnect, not just with others, but with themselves?
I think one of the main things that I work with is about creating space. So creating space to pause and reflect amidst the chaos, you know, that surrounds us in life. Like you said, you know, we're so busy and there's so much hustle and bustle. Everybody's just, you know, working and families and friends and social life and all the things that we all try and juggle at the same time. I think that what I, you know, help people to see is that by taking a step back just for a moment, you know, we can create this space to just stop and think, okay, where am I? What's going on? All of these feelings that I've got bubbling up inside of me, what do they mean? You know, because we miss that. We miss the opportunity to read our own bodies, basically. I mean, I did that for years. That's, you know, it's one of the main reasons that I got so sick. And so by allowing ourselves, by giving ourselves the permission to stop and just ask ourselves the question, you know, what's going on? What do I need? What do I want? What's not working for me? That then allows me to be able, or I'm able to then make healthier decisions, because they're decisions that actually align with where I truly am. And this creates a ripple effect. It changes how we show up in life. It changes our relationships. You know, to go back to your question around relationships, if I know where I am, if I know what's going on with me, if I know what my needs are, the things that are important, the way that I can interact in a relationship will automatically change. The same at work, the same with family, the same with community, that it's like this natural ripple effect, that the inner connection then allows us to connect with the outside world from a different space. And normally a space of more clarity, more peace, more calmness. And I think that makes a huge difference.
Absolutely. You say help people love themselves and connect with the world. How do these two ideas go hand in hand?
Mm-hmm. I think I take it back to what I just said, really. You know, that once we love ourselves, in inverted commas, and by that I'm going to use your word from before, you know, we respect ourselves. We've learned to make space for, you know, the totality of who we are, with all of our shiny bits and the bits that don't shine as much. And when we feel comfortable about that, we do move differently through the world. You know, we hold ourselves differently, we interact differently. And I think that that automatically then creates a different type of connection and a deeper connection with people, because there's authenticity. You know, we're not scared to be vulnerable. We're not scared to, you know, I have a podcast and sometimes I cry. You know, sometimes I get really emotional about the topics that we're talking about. And that's okay. or I feel okay with that. Not that it's okay or it's not okay. I feel okay showing up with wherever I am at that precise moment in time. And I feel okay showing up with the good, the bad, the pretty, the ugly. And my experience of that is that that's then created a deeper connection with the people that I then interact with.
Absolutely. We're just going to another quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with Nasal Guard for pet lovers. Nasal Guard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try Nasal Guard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, aunt and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Gemma, you mentioned feeling vulnerable and you said that how you can as well during your podcast, which is brilliant because let's be honest, it's really difficult for some people to feel really vulnerable. I've spoken to people and it's not an easy or comfortable thing. The fact that you said that you could cry during your podcast is amazing, I'm going to be honest with you, because there's very few people that will really let themselves go and feel vulnerable, because I think some people feel scared by it. They're not used to feeling scared, or they don't want to feel scared because they don't know how to process that emotions. They don't know how they're going to cope with that. And they also hold themselves to maybe high regard in the sense that, no, I'm not that kind of person, or I don't want to be that person, or do you know what I mean?
I do. There's kind of two things that come to mind when you say that. One is the idea of perfectionism, you know, and I think as well, we are British and, you know, we British people, we like to, you know, present ourselves in a certain way and we like to be very, you know, formal and correct and polite, and they are all wonderful, wonderful things. But I think that they can be very challenging when you try to do those things and be vulnerable at the same time, you know, this kind of clash of ideas. When I first started in the coaching world, I knew, like all modern entrepreneurs and business people, that social media was going to be a key part of my business, a key part of speaking to the world, sharing, you know, the things that I feel are important to me. And I really struggled with it. Really, really struggled with it. But not because I didn't feel comfortable sharing, but because I know that not all social media, and I follow some incredible people that are vulnerable, they are authentic, you see them as they are, you know, and they are not presenting this perfect image of life. But there's also the other side of social media where it's so curated and where people only show perfectionism and people, you know, want to portray the, a lot of coaches as well, you know, this idea of a perfect life and follow me and do what I do and you'll be so happy and everything will be wonderful. And it just doesn't work like that. It absolutely doesn't work like that. And I, you know, to be honest, I still struggle with it. You know, if I'm going to be 100% vulnerable now, I still find social media really difficult because I want to just be me. But I also know that there's a, you know, there's a professional side where I need to maintain a certain element of, you know, not just being a crying heap on the floor every time I do a live video, which thankfully that isn't always the case. But I struggle with to connect with a lot of people that, you know, share content because I'm like, this isn't real. This is not what people need to hear. And it is creating even more, you know, stress, even more pressure. And it's actually making a hell of a lot of people so much more unhappy because it then just makes them feel worse about their life because they're not, you know, achieving this idea of perfect life that's being sold to the world.
Absolutely. And you hit on some really key factors there. I read this, there was this survey or some research done years ago before Instagram, it was about Facebook.
Yeah.
And people that were on Facebook, they found a lot of people were really unhappy. And part of that reason was, is as you mentioned, I think people put out an image of an ideal life, which people think, oh, hold on a second, that person's doing so much better. I mean, then you start doing comparisons. That person's they've got this much money or whatever it might be. And it was really causing some issues. And the thing is, the other side of the social media thing is that a lot of things put on there, some things are real, but there's some things which are just not, you know,
exactly.
And it's really dodgy like that.
It's so hard. I mean, I have a 13-year-old son and I also work with a lot of families. I do family coaching as well. And it's terrifying. Absolutely terrifying, this world of social media and what these young brains are absorbing. You know, I was in a meeting a few months ago. It was a hard meeting. It was a very difficult case. And I was there and the family there, social services were there. And, you know, the district doctor was there. And we were all talking together about this particular case and trying to find a way to move forward. And that was, you know, it was incredible. And it was very positive and lovely. But when the meeting ended, it was to do with a primary school child. I think this is an important detail to share. When the meeting ended, I stayed behind and I was talking to the district doctor for a little while. And he said that the previous day he'd been in 7 meetings of that type. 7 primary school meetings where lots of different issues were talked about. But just to give you an idea of the things that were coming up, there were suicidal tendencies, there was self-harming, obviously eating disorders in primary school-aged children. And these kids who, you know, have no, and I want to make this clear as well, this is not a judgment what I'm going to say of the parents. I'm talking about society in general. Kids have almost free access and free reign to so much content through YouTube and, you know, all the different social media platforms. And we as parents, we really, really try to, you know, keep them safe and protect them from it. But they're still seeing it. If they're not seeing it at home, they are still seeing it at, you know, friends, and they are consuming this content. And the damage that it is doing to them is for me as a parent, I take my coach hat off now, and now I'm just a mom with a 13-year-old boy that is learning to navigate his way through this confusing world. It's terrifying.
Absolutely. I've spoken to quite a few people, and apparently with the social media influence and the issues and the mental well-being that's been affected, there's going to be at some point possibly new diagnosis for people that are using social media where it's really affected their mental well-being. That's not the case with everyone. Some people can look at it and, like, for example, I would look at it and think, oh, I think nothing of it. Oh, that person's done that. Okay, that's brilliant. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well done. Whatever it might be. But there's some real, there's people out there that do become really affected. And we don't know. Social media is become intense over the last, what is it, maybe 5 years, 6 years. But we don't know the complete full effects, which will be shown in maybe 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. You know, the new generation, basically, you know. So it's quite scary.
It's, I think we might even see it before then, you know. I'm not sure about the UK, but here in Spain, there are already clinics that, you know, specialise in social media and use of, like, technology addiction. And it is... it's a thing. In fact, I had a session with someone this morning where we were working through this exact issue that she's having with her teenage son as well. And I think it's here. And I think that, you know, AI, social media, I think that they offer wonderful things. You know, I think that there are really positive sides to it. This is not a bashing of everything to do with social media, but I think that we need to be more aware of how this is affecting us all. And I'd even push back with what you've said a tiny bit, you know. So you're kind of quite confident. You can see it. You're like, meh, yeah, I'll take this. I'll leave it. I'm not really that bothered by it. But then we also know that on a subconscious level, there's so much more going on. So maybe up here on top, we're it doesn't bother me. Yeah. But then little by little, it's the same message again and again. How much of that is seeping in without us even realizing?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Subconsciousness takes in a lot of images, information, etc. And again, you're absolutely right. I mean, later on it could impact, or it might build up to something. Do you know what I mean? It's so unpredictable. It's also new, this new generation of social media in the digital age, and now we've got AI. We just don't know what the full effects are. And don't get me wrong, I understand what you're saying, and I totally agree. There's some real positive things about social media, but at the same time, unfortunately, there are some negatives as well. Just like with anything, you know, just like with doing anything. When you're doing when you're watching or doing something too much, it's never going to be good.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's about finding that lovely, happy middle ground rather than being on one extreme to the other. I mean, you know, like I said, my son's 13. He has a phone. He does have one now. He doesn't have his own social media account, but he has a phone. I'm not always there looking over his shoulder when he's doing it. I'm not, you know, going through all of his messages to see what he's talking about with his friends. So, and I recognize that this is part of his world. Yet it is also important, like you said, to not go to the other extreme. You know, how can we, let's bring in the word connection, you know, how can we connect with this new reality in a way that it's going to not hinder us and not create long-term problems? And I think that's, you know, it's a
whole other topic on itself, isn't it?
It is. That's it. We'll come back another day. We'll talk about that then.
We'll have to. We've come to the end. Gemma, tell everyone about, just before we go, tell everyone a bit about your services, how people can reach out to you and that kind of thing.
I wasn't ready for that question. So I, like I said, I'm a social coach. I offer one-to-one sessions, both online and face-to-face. I mean, that's definitely the lovely side about, you know, technology. I work with people all over the world now. And, you know, like you said about this radio station, 50-something countries, you know, that is a definite positive that we will keep. So I do face-to-face and online sessions for individuals, couples and families. You can find me most places. Here I am, you know, I've been like, oh, I don't like social media, but yes, I have a presence everywhere. So I am Gemma Lee Edelman Coaching on Facebook, Instagram, and also on LinkedIn. And I am currently updating, is that the word I'm looking for, my website. So I do have a website as well, but it's not exactly where I want it to be yet. I'm still doing some tweaky things to make it, you know, bigger and better, let's say.
Absolutely. Thank you again for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And thank you to our listeners. You know, you can find me on Instagram at GavinJ417. Until next time, take care.